Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Another episode of the Dino Talk Podcast.
Nick, Jesse, Logan, back again. Another week. Football has already started, and we're pretty excited. We were ready for this podcast for a while, and we're just ready to talk about the week one games. What do you guys want to start us off? Kind of walk through the games, like what you all thought? And we have some segments to get to as well.
Last night was the most, or two nights ago, the most disappointing night of my life. That's what I think about week one. On to you, Logan.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of thought this week one was a little rusty for a lot of teams. A lot of quarterbacks looked like crap. And some receivers, fantasy-wise, just didn't seem to show up like some of us were saying. Kind of sucked, but still a fun watch.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, there was some really bad quarterback play all across the board, especially the elite quarterbacks, to where it's just like, do we dismiss it? Just like week one blues? Do we look into it more? Also, some like mid-tier quarterbacks look terrible. Like, I'm more likely to say that they are just like head to the dumps, but should we say that about elite quarterbacks? I have no idea. I'm tempted to just throw out week one, but unfortunately, fantasy started, the season started. We can't do that. But definitely a weird week.
I would like to point out, especially from just based on week one, people who probably waited on QB, looking real good this year. Looking real good. The year that the QBs were all getting drafted way early, third, fourth, fifth round. Boy, oh boy, if you wait till the 13th and grab Jordan Love, you're feeling good today. Feeling good today.
Yeah, at least for me in redraft this year, I was burned last year so bad with waiting on quarterback. And I got Trey Lance in some leagues. He got hurt. I was just scrambling every week. Then in leagues this year, I got Josh Allen, got Patrick Mahomes, super excited, but they laid huge duds. So I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I do also just want to go down with saying, yeah, there was like a ton of elite quarterbacks in the league, like Joe Burrow that laid a dud, Ryan Tannehill, like, and then even week one, Patrick Mahomes didn't look the greatest. And honestly, I didn't know if that was just strictly off Travis Kelce being injured, which is a huge injury to their offense. But it's going to be interesting seeing the Chiefs, the defending league winners, to see if they'll be able to bounce back, because I know a lot of people drafted Patrick Mahomes and Kelce pre-injury, like super early. So it should be fun to watch.
100%. Yeah, it was crazy watching those top six, like three of the top six quarterbacks, you know, like led Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill. Broke my heart.
Yeah, I don't expect the elites like the Tannehills. I'm just kidding. Very sly to throw Tannehill in there. But let's kind of get on to one more thing here before we start something else. So we dropped a lot of takes this offseason, some buys, some sells. Some hot takes. Does anyone, after the first week, have any that they regret or that they're ready to just move on from for good?
Okay, I guess that's my cue, huh? Okay. Well, all right. Calvin Ridley, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yep. That's, man, if I would have drafted Calvin Ridley at like wide receiver 13 or whatever I was saying was way too high, I'd be feeling pretty good. I mean, he looked every part of a top five wide receiver out there. Whenever you think about who his quarterback is and just, I mean, yeah, I could see him being worth every penny that you drafted him for in Dynasty and probably a little bit more in redraft, probably even better. Yeah, I'd take my L's on the show. Hey, I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to take them. So, Christian Kirk as well. yeah, my boy's a wide receiver 3 on the team. Zay Jones, absolutely beating him out. There was one play in particular where I said, oh, boy, I was real wrong about Christian Kirk. If you want to, you know, look back, it's in the third quarter. Jaguars need to score. And it's like 2nd and 7, I want to say, something like that, and they need a first down. And he has Christian Kirk, I'm talking about, wide open for 7 yards. Like right on the first down line. I mean, it would have been the easiest thing. Calvin Ridley was double teamed 15 yards down the field and like in the same line of sight. Like there's no way Trevor Lawrence didn't see Christian Kirk wide open. And he chose to try to fit it in between two defenders to Calvin Ridley 15 yards deep. I'm concerned. And yeah, that's it on the Jaguars.
Yeah, that's one thing I was curious about is just like the Christian Kirk is just like, I mean, he was above Zay Jones last year, but it's just this year, like I wonder what happened. Like that's kind of weird. And it is just week one, so it's like things could turn, but it's definitely something that's a bit odd and definitely a concern for Kirk. And it's looking pretty good for Ridley.
And for everybody who drafted Christian Kirk, looking concerning for. In case you guys didn't know, I've invested highly in Christian Kirk.
I was going to say, though, Christian Kirk's lucky Evan Ingram's listed as a tight end, or he might be receiver 4 on that team.
Oh, it's scary how right you are, though. Gosh, dang it. With ETN, he's like the target. He's like the 5th target getter on the offense, dude. Yeah. Not looking like a Tyler Lockett career arc. Not going to lie.
Yeah, definitely a bit tough. There's a few of my takes that I'm definitely like wondering about after week one, but I don't know if there's any that I'm fully ready to like completely give in on. Like Sky Moore is the obvious one. He had no catches, but I mean, so did Drake London, so did T. Higgins. But I mean, Sky Moore did play the most snaps out of all the wide receivers, and it was kind of a last-second thing where Travis Kelce didn't play, last-second thing where Kadarius Toney did play, to where I think their Chiefs offense as a whole was kind of a mess, to where I'm not ready to completely give in yet on Sky, but definitely a bit of a concern. It did seem like, kind of like what Jesse was saying, is that Sky was just kind of an afterthought when he was in. Like, Patrick wasn't really looking at him early in the game. I mean, late in the game, he was looking at him, which I don't know what to think about that. I mean, he's a guy that was on the field a lot. I talked to Jesse about this early in the week. I remember a few years ago being very in on Donovan Peoples-Jones breakout. And after week one, he played, I think, 93, 94% of snaps. He had one target, one catch for 4 yards. And through the first 4 weeks of the season, he was basically just running wind sprints out there. He was playing a ton of snaps, but he was just out there getting exercise. Like he was like maybe getting a look when everything else failed. And that's kind of what I'm worried about with Sky here. But the big thing with Donovan is he ended up turning it around like throughout the season to where he made something of it. Just like by playing so many snaps and getting the rapport with the quarterback. And I'm kind of worried that could be the case with Sky this year, that we could have some lulls where I'm not firing him out there in my lineup until he can really prove it. And it's not something I'm ready to completely give in, but it was definitely a bit of a concern week one.
Yeah, the only league I'm going to be playing Sky more from here on out is probably my Guillotine League until he proves it a little bit more. And Guillotine, though, man, I need him. I need him to do something next week. He's got to play for me, so I need him one more week. Just last me one more week. I'll find him a replacement.
But yeah, going on to maybe one take, I might have to step back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Back from for a little bit. It's probably my take on DeAndre Swift somehow having a bounce back here, but I do think it's not too late for the Eagles to kind of step towards the light a little bit and realize that he's very good at passing, catching passes and just making runs. He doesn't have to be there every down back, but if they could just utilize him in the passing game instead of giving him two snaps or whatever he ended up having, then I think maybe it could happen. But I mean, that's just being completely optimistic. I feel like it's week one. The Eagles looked kind of shaky. They kind of almost threw the game away. And maybe there's like some coaching problems, personnel problems, or they just need to figure something out. And I probably should have highlighted whenever I gave the take that DeAndre Swift's probably going to just be absolutely hit or miss, or just, yeah, never see the field, even though they signed him. Who knows?
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting. DeAndre Swift, he seems like he's one of the most explosive players. I mean, whenever he was with the Lions, man, I can't think of, you know, Tyreek Hill. There's a couple names that come to mind that are more explosive than him, but man. I mean, yeah, I sure wish the Eagles were going to use him more, but the Eagles are also overloaded with talent in the skill position, so trying to, you know, spread those targets around can be tough. So I get it. I get it. I have empathy for Nick Sirianni. So many talented players to get the ball to. It's tough. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. I think the same thing about DeAndre Swift, so I'm with you that it was a horrible take, and
it's not horrible yet, because I saw there's already speculation and potential trade rumors that DeAndre Swift could revitalize his career and on the Colts. So maybe that's what I'm hoping for. He just gets out of Philly.
Hey, there we go. There we go. How do you feel about that one, Nick? I know DeAndre Swift is on our shared team together. Me and Nick spent a first on him last year, so.
Jesse, come on. We don't need to tell everything on this.
Ouch.
Just kidding. Yeah, I think we've talked about it before. We thought we were ready to win, and it didn't quite work out as planned. But we're moving on. We're trying to move in a positive direction, but not looking great, but we'll do it. But on this, I'm going to talk about the Eagles a little bit later in the podcast, but I'm not ready to fully give up on Swift yet. Like Gainwell, like he got a lot of the snaps, but he really wasn't great with it. And plug your ears, Jesse. The Eagles offense wasn't great week one. Like they gotta change something up. And Nick Sirianni said after the game, like someone's gotta play him more. Well, he's the coach and he should be the one making the change. And yeah, I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. I think the Eagles kind of needed a spark on offense, and Gainwell wasn't giving him that. And I think Swift is one who's dynamic with the ball, and I think he's going to get a chance. Like, whether or not he does something with it, I don't know. But I think he's going to get a chance.
Mm-hmm. I think that going into this next week – oh, sorry, Jesse. Into this next week, Gainwell's already been ruled out against the Vikings, so – it looks like he might get his chance to stand out here soon. So,
yep, there's his chance.
I did not know Gainwell was out already for tomorrow night. So, yeah, I mean, actually exactly what I was going to say is my concern would be that he's only going to get, you know, like a couple chances, like a couple touches at it, because Gainwell's going to take the majority of the snaps. Yeah, I mean, that's very possible that that Thursday could be the night for old Swift.
Yeah, well, if you guys don't have anything else, let's... So, we actually have a new segment to announce. Kind of teased about it earlier, and it's something, it's called the Stock Market Games. And each week, we're gonna do a little bit of this each week. And it's just kind of going to be a segment where we throw out a take, and the others will get to announce whether or not they buy the take, buy shares of it, they sell it, or whether or not they're just holding for now. Like, they really don't want to feel strongly either way. They're just holding. And also, we're going to hear whether or not we believe the take. So we're not all in on each of these takes. Like, could be the case for them, not the case for me. But yeah, I think this is going to be pretty fun. I'm excited about it. But we each have a few takes to throw out. And you know what? I say we go ahead and get started. So the stock market games have begun. And I'll go ahead and start with it here. My first one is Sean Tucker will be the Bucks leader in running back touches by week 6. That is what's going to happen. What do you guys think?
You know, I'm really surprised at this one because all offseason I felt like you were kind of the Rashad White guy. So pretty surprised to see this one on here. I mean, yeah, I don't absolutely hate it, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm buying it. I could see it happening. It's not that I'm a huge Rashad White guy. I do have a few shares of him, but I think I actually have a few more of Sean Tucker, so wouldn't be bad. But yeah, I mean, I could see it. He looked like the better back this weekend. I think he might overtake him.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and step in here because Logan had to step away. But I'm buying this. Rashad White, how many times are they going to let him carry the ball 15 to 20 times and not get over 40 yards? Like, that happened this week. And it last year, it was consistent. They did not have the running production. Like, Leonard Fournette and Rashad White. Like, neither of them were productive runners. And I do think White is a pretty decent receiving back. Like, that's what – coming out, that's what I thought was his strong suit. But it's just like, if they're just going to run him this much, like, that's not productive for their team. And the Bucks look better than I thought week one. And – I think going forward, Sean Tucker's the guy. Like, he should be the guy. Like, he should be the guy carrying the ball. I mean, maybe let White do the receiving work, but I think Tucker's one who's going to – he's a productive runner. Like, he proved that in college, and I think he's a very good player. And I think by week 6, I think they're going to try to get White going. But I think by week 6, I think Sean Tucker's going to be either at least even with him, but if not, like, I think he's going to have more touches.
So then let me ask you this. Between Sean Tucker and Rashad White after week 6, so you're saying Sean Tucker's going to take it over completely. If Rashad White retains the receiving work, are you still buying Sean Tucker over Rashad White in PPR fantasy?
I am. Because as of now, it's like Rashad White's getting the work. Like, he's had a higher snap share. Like, he's getting 17 carries. Like, he's getting a lot of work. And if Sean Tucker starts getting those carries, I think he's a productive runner. And I think he could get 1 to 2, 3 catches a game. And like, maybe there'll be games where White will catch 5 to 6 passes where it'll be good. But I think consistency wise, I'd rather have Tucker. And I think he's got a high ceiling, and like, he went undrafted, which I still don't understand. I mean, I know he had the heart issue, but like he's already playing, and he's, I think he's still 21 years old. Like he's a good talent. I prefer Tucker, and I mean, as of now, I probably prefer White, but I think as of week six, I think I will be on the Tucker side.
I can see it. I'm buying. Logan, you buying? You selling? You holding?
Yeah. Honestly, I like that idea because I feel like every time I've watched Rashad White, he's just way better at a receiving back. And I feel like that's pretty evident. I feel like Sean Tucker's got like that workhorse mentality. And obviously the Buccaneers kind of need that stable running back. So some would say that I'm buying in on this take too. I think Sean Tucker's going to jumpstart his production here pretty soon. So yeah, I completely buy in on that take too.
Boom. Ooh, nice take, Nick.
Games have begun in a positive direction for me.
All righty. My turn. We're going to go with one that these guys are both going to love here. I know they're both buying it 100%. I know we did just talk about some of my bad takes, you know, one of my worst, Christian Kirk. Let's go ahead and talk about a great take by your boy Jay Setz over here. We're talking about Jordan Love. My take, Packers aren't going to miss a beat switching over to Jordan Love from Aaron Rodgers. And I'll tell you right now, boys, you knew I was buying it from the beginning of the season. I'm buying it now. What do you guys think?
I think it's too early to tell. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I feel like just, you know, watching Bears-Packers week one, I feel like there wasn't much to take away, minus a slow first half. But, I mean, he didn't really make many mistakes. So I think that buying into him is easily the best option because their offense is pretty packed with talent, even though their receivers aren't, like, all high draft stock guys. I feel like – him just playing baseline and not making many mistakes is just kind of the key to his success. So I feel like I probably won't buy in there right now, but I'll say I'll hold on that take because I don't, you know, I might be a bit biased against him, but I'm fine with saying that I think he has extreme upside, but do I think he's going to be like top 10 quarterback in the league? I'm not sure yet. I don't think so.
But the preseason games, Logan, the preseason games. All right, Nick, let's hear it, buddy.
I'm going to hold. I'm sorry, Jesse. He did look good. Like, the Packers look good. Like, they beat up on the Bears. And unfortunately, I'm a Bears fan. But because of that, I watched a lot of the game. And the Bears are a mess. Like, defensively, it is bad. Like, they have no pass rush. Like, the Bears have absolutely no pass rush. And a lot of the touchdowns the Packers scored, at least early in the second half where it started to blow open, a lot of those were scheme touches. Like, Aaron Jones took those screen passes and took them a long way. Like, Love did have some good plays, but he had a lot of empty pockets to throw. And he had, like, that wide-open one to Musgrave. Aaron Jones did a lot of stuff after the catch. That's why I'm not fully in on Jordan Love, just like completely riding it out with the Packers offense. But I mean, it's a good start. I mean, great for confidence. Like, I think confidence is huge at that position. And he seems to be a confident guy right now. And he's letting it rip back there. Like, he looks confident. He looks good. And I'm excited to see what happens, but I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm sorry. I'm selling that. Or I'm holding.
Oh.
I'm holding.
Oh, okay. All right.
Almost controversial.
I was about to say, man. I mean, you guys know how the stock market works, right? You're supposed to buy when it's low, and then it's going to grow over time, right? No. I'm joking. But, I mean, how long can we wait, man? He already did it in the preseason. He did it week one. Man, y'all are going to wait till the price is too expensive. But, hey, that's all right. That's all right. Hey, at least you're holding. You'll make some money on what you're holding on to right now. But if you're like me, you're going to go buy some more and be a little happier.
Yeah, the other thing I'd say is that their receiving core is still very young. Like, they have a very young receiving core, and they're going to be growing on the fly. Like, if it's week three, week four, and that offense is humming. I do like their defense. Then I'll buy high. I'll buy high, but I'm not ready to buy at the price right now. I'm sorry.
More for me.
Yeah, I was also going to say, I did like how Jordan Love was spreading the ball to multiple receivers, but I think I will be holding on till a decision when they play the Lions. That's going to be here in 3 weeks. That's whenever I'll make my decision on to buy or sell.
Let's remember, everybody, this was without his number one wide receiver, too. Just throwing that out there. But all right. I've made my case. I'm done selling it. All right.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to pencil that in to look back at these takes here in a few weeks. But so for my first take for the stock market is going to be looking at Khalil Herbert a little bit closer, because I don't know. I think the Bears are in a tough spot and they're going to need to solidify some more of their weapons, give people touches and carries that need it, then that are going to be more productive. And I think Khalil Herbert's in a weird spot where he's not a power back. And so my take is that I think Khalil Herbert might be screwed this season, or kind of in a running back purgatory setting where, I think he had like 5 carries, 25 yards, got some screen passes last game. But when Roshan Johnson got some snaps, he looked like a complete menace out there. He was a candidate for, angry run of the week. He didn't get it, but Baker Mayfield stole that from him week one, but I'm sure he might have another opportunity to do it later. But I did want to say that, like, Roshan Johnson already got more snaps than Khalil Herbert did in week one, which I think is pretty insane. He just needs to get more carries, and I think he could easily take Khalil Herbert's position. So I'm definitely going to be buying in on the news that I think Khalil Herbert might be screwed this season, but we'll see with time.
Yeah, no, I'm actually exactly with you. I'm trying to sell Khalil Herbert because of exactly what you said. Roshan Johnson, I think he's taking over that role. 100% buying on this one.
I hate to be that guy, but I'm holding. I do agree. Khalil Herbert, he had 9 carries. He had 3 catches, 37 yards, which I think is pretty decent. But this game got out of hand fairly quick. And early on, Khalil Herbert was their first back, and they eventually started switching. And Roshan got a lot of his touches late, I thought, which is why I don't think it's going to be like the Roshan show in week two. If it is, like, I'm excited to watch it. But I think they're going to keep going with Herbert. And I think the guy that could be the odd man out is Deonte Foreman. I thought he kind of lacked a little bit of juice. And I think Roshan Johnson can do what Foreman can do. So I think in the end, it might be a Khalil Herbert and Roshan show. But at the same time, like you said, purgatory, and that could be purgatory. They're both splitting in an offense that's not great. And especially it's like Roshan has a good week, Herbert has a good week. How do you know? Like that, I could see the purgatory in that sense. But I think Herbert's a good player. I just think the Bears were kind of trying out everything in that game. Like, it was a disaster all the way across the board. And that's why in week two, they got to change something up. I'm going to talk about the Bears in a little bit, but yeah, I'm not ready to buy into that yet, but I definitely see the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really cool. If it would be really cool if the Bears could, start with the dynamic of what they've done for like the last 5 years, where they have, their main power back, and then they kind of have their smaller agile guy coming in. So I would like to see the Bears kind of develop like a Zeke, Tony Pollard dynamic, but we shall see eventually. Who knows?
Yeah, the whole thing is there where Roshan Johnson's going to get the more valuable touches, and that's why I would end up liking him a little bit more. Of course, Khalil Herbert's going to be the one that's catching the ball, but I don't know. I'm always take like I like A.J. Dillon over Aaron Jones. That take has bitten me in the ass quite a few times now, but I don't know. I like the guys who are going to score touchdowns, dog.
Yeah, definitely understandable. I'll go ahead and go with my next one here. It's time to be concerned about Justin Fields and his future with the Bears. Like, I'll just keep riding with the Bears here. It's time to be concerned. And I'll start it out. I'm buying it. It's time. It's time to be concerned. It was not a great week for the Bears. And it's year three of Justin Fields, and we're still seeing a lot of the same issues. Like, that's the sad for, like, the sad truth. He just refuses to just throw the ball. Like, the Bears have guys open. Like, that's not the issue anymore. Like, last year they didn't have the receivers. This year he's got the receivers, and his internal clock is still off. Like, he's still, like, he sees open guys and he just doesn't throw it. Like, I just don't know if he just wants them more open. I don't know what it is, but it's like rewatching the film on that game. It's just like, it kind of confirmed what I was seeing out there. It's just like, he's still off. Like, he just, I don't know if he doesn't have the confidence. I don't know if he's not comfortable in the offense, not comfortable in the pocket. I don't know, but he seems to see the field and he sees these guys who are open. He just doesn't throw it. And that's a problem. Like, especially when teams take away the deep ball, take away the deep developing routes. He, in quick game, he just refuses to make the throws. And like, for the Bears' future, for Justin Fields' future, it's just like, it's like, if they're going to be in an offense where they're not going to have him run a ton, like, there's not a lot of future with him for the Bears. And that's the unfortunate truth. I do think if the Bears transition to being a run happy offense, I think Fields could have some success. But as of right now, he is not there as a passer. And that's something I thought by now he would be better, but he's just not there. And that's the unfortunate reality. And the Bears, like, they need to change things up. Like, whether that be Roshan getting a lot of touches, like, their offense just needs to change. And Fields, like, he's got to start performing, or things are going to get a little dicey in Chicago.
Wow. From our Bears fan himself. I do think this – okay, let me just make sure I'm understanding. Justin Fields didn't actually start a game until last year, week six, correct?
No.
That's not correct. It's been 2 years. It was week six of his rookie year. Mm-hmm. So this is his third year now.
Yep.
Almost – okay. Damn, I was sitting here really hoping that last year it was the year that he got in after week six. Darn it, boy, I thought I was gonna be the most negative one because I was holding on this. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still think that you gotta at least hold out a few more weeks. You had the chance to take Bryce Young this year and trade away Justin Fields. You didn't. It's kind of like the Trey Lance situation over in San Fran, but I just think you got to, like, I mean, you got to try it. Like, you know, I mean, you got to give him every opportunity that he can before you make that move. Gosh, who's their backup?
I want to step in. Justin Fields is going to be their quarterback this year as long as he's healthy. Like, they're going to give him every opportunity. But it's just, in my opinion, it's time to be concerned because I just, they did not look good. And, like, they didn't look good against the Packers, who, like, they had a first-year quarterback starting, and they made him look amazing. And the Bears' offense struggled.
And how much did the Bears' offense play in preseason, the starters?
They did play. Like,
they did?
Yeah. They played, I think, two games. And, ooh, like, that's my thing. It's he's got the new receivers.
Come up with everything for him.
Yeah. Like, it's not a great start. I'm not fully out on Fields. Like, I'm still a huge supporter, but I do think it's time to be a little concerned.
I mean, I can buy that it's time to be concerned. I can buy that. Yeah. So selling Fields, but you know, yeah. All right, on to you, Logan.
Yeah, geez, just name a better dynamic. Chicago fans and hating their team for no reason. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I definitely feel like I'm holding on Justin Fields because, you know, I'm not some expert analyst on quarterbacks or anything, but I feel like the problem that he does have, if he can get the right help, is honestly not a bad issue to have. Like, yeah, holding the ball is horrible, but it's like, I don't know, maybe he's closing his eyes or something, but if you do watch his plays, he's looking straight at all of the receivers that are wide open. So if he could just move the ball, you know, towards those receivers, I think that his issue would be, you know, completely resolved. But I don't know. I feel like it's interesting to see the Bears offense change so drastically in like 1 year, because last year was like, he didn't have the receivers, the linemen were horrible, but it looks like, you know, they give him appropriate amount of time to make decisions. So it's kind of like, you can't even like blame, I can't remember if it was a right guard or right, or one of their linemen got hurt before the season too. So it's like, it didn't even look like that impacted the offense at all. So it's just like, I don't know if they need to, I don't know, change the offense or something, even though it looked, I don't know, the routes looked fine. I already watched like all of their offensive snaps. So it's just like, at this point, I'm going to write the right week one Justin Fields is him having like a case of the yips, or he's a bit nervous. He just wasn't pulling the trigger on anything. So I'm going to, you know, give him half a season to, you know, revisit this one. So I'm going to keep holding on him.
Yeah. And I'm willing to wait it out. Like, I have a lot of Justin Fields on dynasty teams. Like, I'll be honest, I have him on a lot of teams that I have high hopes for. So I have confidence in him. I do. I'm going to start him with confidence. I hope he's the guy for the future. I really do. I just think after week one, like, the same concerns that I thought would be fixed were still popping up. And like, maybe it's just week one. The Packers defense could be a lot better than a lot of people thought. And I do think they're pretty good, but it's just like the same issue. It's just like him taking too many sacks, like him not throwing the ball. Like, I know, like, that's been a point of him
for sure.
What's that?
I said waiting too long to throw the ball. That's, I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's just what it comes down to. Is he waits forever. Like, I mean, yeah, his like internal clock is off. I mean, I get what you're saying. I do.
Yeah. And it's tough. I hope he can get it turned around. Like, I just think they need to have a conversation, because it's clear, like, based on stuff I've seen, that Matt Eberflus, the coach, told him we need to cut down on turnovers. And Justin Fields thinks, you know what? If I just hold the ball and not throw it, I won't turn it over, and only throw it when someone's wide open. But it's just like, they need to have an like conversation. It's just like, this offense will not be very good if Justin Fields is not being aggressive and not throwing the ball when he has the opportunity. Like, let him turn the ball over. Like, let him play. Let him be him. And that's why I'm not selling on this. I'm not selling on Fields, but I am buying the idea that I'm a bit concerned.
Yeah, I did want to – I don't know if they need to – maybe I need to rewatch some of the snaps or something, but I don't know if they need to tell Justin Fields. I completely forget. I swear there was like a college – team that ran this offense where they immediately have the quarterback moving out of the pocket, and I'm wondering if that would even help him, so that he's like getting rolling and he's already kind of like, you know, rolling out to the right, and he has to just mark off like a quarter of the field so that he's like, either I run this or I throw it, you know, to someone in front of me, so that he has like a little bit extra space. But I don't know, it's tough for him right now. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm with you. At this point in time, he's not a pocket passer. Like, you got to find ways to get the offense going. And that's on the Bears coaching staff. They had all offseason to get this figured out. Maybe they hope Justin Fields would transform himself, but it's not looking great so far. But luckily, there's a lot of season left, and Justin Fields is going to get these opportunities. But we'll be right back with Jesse's next take. All right, we're back. Jesse.
What up? All right, so everybody knows, Monday night, horrible night for the Jets. But we all also got to see what the potential of what was there in Garrett Wilson. Batting the ball back to himself. How many times do you see that in the NFL? With an NFL-level defender on you, you're able to actually intentionally bat the ball back to yourself. I think that Garrett Wilson might have the talent, guys. My take is Garrett Wilson has the talent to still break out, even with Zach Wilson at quarterback. And there's talk that they're looking. There's talk they're looking out there. Of course, you know, I mean, there's only really one option that gets you excited, and he's an owner. But, yeah, and I doubt we're getting him back. But, anyway, I'm holding this one, fellas. I'm not selling it yet. I'm not willing to sell it yet. You guys know Wolf of Wall Street? I ain't leaving.
I got to ask, Jesse, what's the breakout look like to you?
Garrett Wilson having – oh, gosh, dang, you're going to make me put numbers in front of it because he only had like 32 yards receiving. I mean, you know, Garrett Wilson breaking out with Zach Wilson at the helm, looks like 1,200, 1,300 yards. I think that it's possible. And then, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns in there. Of course, that isn't the breakout level that we were expecting with Garrett, like with Aaron Rodgers. It's not – the ceiling's lower. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I just still think that Garrett Wilson could really be – could still continue to be special, even with, you know, Zach Wilson or whoever they end up having quarterback there. I was listening to a few podcasts today, and or maybe it was – yeah, it was yesterday morning. And they were saying, you know, they wouldn't take – they would take Garrett Wilson fourth round earliest. I'd still be taking him earlier than that. So – I don't know. I still think that he's going to make the year special. And, yeah, I mean, it's a little hopeful, but what do you guys think?
Garrett Wilson, huge sell on my, you know, on my radar right now. I'm just kidding. I think Garrett Wilson, realistically, it's hard to judge all these just after 1 week of production and then kind of just like a season-changing injury to Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know. I think just holding on to him is the safe option. But if you look at kind of like a meter, he's on the hold/sell side of my, you know, radar right now. But I don't know. They need to scheme him up a little bit more. He's definitely looks pretty elite, but I don't know about Zach Wilson's ability to like not get sacked 20 yards behind the line right now. I mean, maybe if they solve that or get another quarterback, maybe, but and Zach Wilson, I think, did have like one really good deep ball too that I was kind of impressed with. But yeah, for me, that's a hold on the sell side right now. But we'll see here in a few weeks. Maybe the Jets will make a move at getting Jameis Winston or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what for me. It just comes down to like who's playing quarterback. If it's Zach Wilson, like we know what he is. Like. But at the same time, I'm one who's just like someone's – I've seen people say Gardner Minshew, Taylor Heineke, like those kind of players. But it's just like I'd rather see Zach Wilson. Like let him improve, like ride it out. Like maybe he'll figure out his potential. But like at the same time, I'm like you can't waste this roster this season on a guy who's just not ready. And that's why I think they at least explore the option. Like, whether that be Jameis, like what Logan said, like, I think that's a decent option. Andy Dalton, I've seen float around. Like, that might be a decent one. Like, he looked okay for the Saints. And it's just like, that's what the Jets need with that defense. It's just like, if you can be okay. And as far as the breakout, Jesse, I'm sorry. I'm selling because I just don't see a wide receiver one for Garrett Wilson. I think he can be a wide receiver two player, but I think in order for him to break out, like, because last year was he wide receiver 25 to 30. It's just like if he can, I think reaching wide receiver one status with a not so good quarterback, I think that's going to be tough. But I think he's a great talent. I think he's a really good player. And if they can kind of figure out the quarterback position, I think he can lead the offense. But to get to the breakout status, unfortunately, Jesse, I'm selling.
So let me ask you, whenever Davante Adams went from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, did he immediately become a wide receiver too?
Are we comparing Derek Carr to Zach Wilson? Because I'm selling that
Damn. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. Shit.
I was gonna say, you're like, hold up, wait a minute.
I might be grasping here a little bit. I was mainly trying to compare Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson. But yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from. I really do. I get it all. But yeah, I mean, like I said, even I just believe in his talent. And yeah, I don't know. I did have a good little smart little comeback. It might have been what I said and you countered, but I had something. I'll shout it out if I think of it again. Don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, if the Jets find a way to, like, if the Vikings start off 0-4, you get Kirk Cousins, the Rams start losing, you get Matt Stafford, I'm in. But I think the likelihood that those teams get rid of those guys, it's going to be pretty slim.
Yeah, no, and like you said, Jameis would be, like, a perfect solution. But the only thing is, all these players that you're mentioning, besides, like, Matthew Stafford, I don't see him winning a Super Bowl. And that's what the Jets are chasing this year. And so I don't know which direction they go from here, but yeah, I mean, I'm just a believer in Garrett Wilson's talent. I've always been. This is what I was going to say is, you know what, though? At the end of the day, whenever I was buying Garrett Wilson, you want to know what round he was going for? Round 4 at the end of last year, the beginning of this offseason. So you know what? It's very similar to crypto. Whenever I bought that Solana coin and it went up and I made like a ton of money, but then I didn't cash it out. So I'm right back where I started. Woo!
Buy, sell, or hold. Jesse's winning here. That's what we figured out.
yeah, but that's the one. All righty, I guess we'll move on to one of your next ones, Nick.
All right, Logan stepped away here for a second. I'll go ahead and hop into my next one. Logan, you're back. Do you want to go ahead here with your next one?
Yep. I just had to, you know, get a lasagna out of the oven. So it's just, you know, cooking up some dinner, cooking up some good takes here. And with my next take is Javonte Williams will have a comeback fantasy season where people regret drafting him so late because he might not be the most productive runner like he used to be, but so I think the way that I'm going to rationalize this is that Russell Wilson has been struggling for a long time about like having a high pressure to sack ratio, and he's just constantly scrambling out of the pocket. One thing that Sean Payton's really good at doing is getting his running backs involved in the passing game. And I think the funny thing about the last game was I'll have to pull up the stats here really quickly, but I think Javonte Williams had 5 catches for like 6 yards or something, which is insane because that's just like free fantasy points to Javonte every game so Russell Wilson can avoid a hit. So I think that he won't be a comeback player of the year like Breece Hall's looking like he is already, but I think that he could surprise a lot of people fantasy production-wise just because, I mean, he got 13 carries. That's a pretty solid load for his first game back. And I just think that, what was it? Yeah. It was 4 catches for 5 yards, which is, you know, a free 4 fantasy points. And if you just tack that on, it takes him from like, you know, a baseline, like 10 fantasy point score. I think that's probably where he's at right now. It could start taking him up to 15 if you can get like a touchdown or some productive catching or receiving yards, but I don't know. I think I'm going to buy into this one. I feel like a lot of them I'm trying to hold out, be a little bit conservative and just say I'm going to hold to see more. But I think that Javonte Williams is just going to keep growing more and more into that offense. And he's shown in the past he can be really productive. And I think he's going to continue to do it this year.
All right. I'll start with this one. I'm in on Javonte. That's the big thing is he had the big injury. Like he had the LCL involved and that's proven to be tough. Like J.K. Dobbins, like we figured out, like it's tough to come back from. But based on all reports coming out of the Broncos, just like this guy has kind of been an anomaly. Like he's been unlike anything they've ever seen before. Like he got, what did he get, 13 carries first game? Like that's pretty darn good. 5 receptions. Like he played a lot the first game after a bad knee injury. And that's great. And based on reports I've seen as well, it's just like this team is going to be like typical Sean Payton team. Like in what they showed in week one, is they're going to throw to their running backs. They're going to throw to their tight ends. Like they're going to run the ball. And that looks good for Javonte. And like, I'm one who, like, I think Sean Payton's like a pretty decent coach to where I think they're going to be in a lot of games to where like the game script is going to be in Javonte's favor to where like, yeah, I think I'm in. I think I'm in. And that's bold to say after week one, like for a running back after a big injury, after seeing James Robinson last year, like there's been people that have really hurt us before, but this workload and yeah, I'm in.
I'd love to hear it. You know, all aboard the Javonte Williams hype train. I think one thing I did want to point out too, because I kind of forgot about it, is just that his ADP was so high in any like single season league. I was just picking him up just to throw a dart at a good PPR running back. But I don't know. What's your position on this, Jesse?
Oh my goodness, guys, are we watching the same game? Absolutely joking. Let me on the train, baby. Sugar, sugar, sugar. Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Exactly what I was talking about earlier too, with the just I like goal line running backs, the ones that are gonna get the valuable touches. That's absolutely Javonte, man. He's a power back, he can catch the ball. He was one of my favorite running backs, like whenever he was coming out. He's an absolute beast. I think Nick was actually the one that was putting me onto him back whenever he was in college, even. And, yeah, I think we've all really liked Javonte. It'd be great to see him bounce back. And for all the reasons that you pointed out, and then on top of the fact that I always like my goal line guys, yeah, I'm going Javonte. I'm definitely hopping on board.
Hell, yeah. Love to hear it. Let's hope this train doesn't crash too hard. Let's hope it just keeps going forward, because I would love to see him return to his ways that Nick stated early on in his career, that he had, like, one of the weirdest broken tackle statistics I'd ever seen. It's like – I was like, does he break like 5 tackles a game? How does he even get that much of a number for that stat? It's insane to me.
Dude's a good player. I was team Javonte over Najee Harris before it was cool. Like before his last season in college.
He was. I'll verify. You guys know I'm very good at calling out Nick whenever he does something bad. I'll give him credit too. He was on the Javonte train before it was cool.
All right, yeah. Everybody's aboard the Javonte train. Everybody's buying.
Make some money together, baby.
That's right. All right, I'll go to my next one here. This one I'm excited about. Ryan Tannehill will be an Atlanta Falcon by the trade deadline. I'll toss it to you guys.
I don't know. I still don't think I have an answer for this one. Trying to support the Titans is a pretty hard watch last Sunday. So I don't know. I will say, I don't know. I need to acquire some more information behind the scenes to see how Mike Vrabel's treating Ryan Tannehill. Cause I think that was one of the oddest dynamics I'd ever seen. Whenever Ryan Tannehill essentially lost them the game against the Bengals, and for some reason Mike Vrabel is always there to like hold his hand, say everything's going to be all right, and to look forward. So I'm going to be looking out to see if that attitude changes this year. But honestly, with their new GM, I could see something weird like that happening. And I know a lot of teams wouldn't be interested in Ryan Tannehill, but he's got a good old buddy there and on the Falcons. So I'll say hold, but on the buy side. Actually, I'll just buy into it. We can change that later, you know, or we can just look like absolute geniuses whenever it does happen. So I'll go with a buy on that one. So.
All right. This one, I'm serious. I'm selling. what are the Falcons going to do with two bad quarterbacks? I mean, seriously, why would they do that? They're just going to get another Spencer. Like what? Like, what are they doing with that? Just get an older one? Why would they do that? But, man, I'll tell you what, you guys, you know what you made me think of, though? If the Jets do that, that would be the only thing that would make me more upset than if Zach Wilson were playing. Yeah, no, I'm selling it, man. I hope the Falcons don't do something like that. But Yeah, no, I'm selling it. I mean, it would be a long shot. It'll be so funny if it happens, because that is quite the call, Nick. But as far as the stock market goes, I'm not risking my own money there. I'm selling it.
I respect it. That was a good one. That was a good one. Jesse, you did not like the other one I considered, which was making the change for Ryan Tannehill to the Jets. But I'm holding off on that.
Gosh, I hope not.
But for me here, I'm buying it. I'm buying it. Like Arthur Smith, like he was the guy that had the good season out of Ryan Tannehill, and he's the coach of the Falcons. And to go along with Jesse's point here, Arthur Smith spent like three quarters of the season on Marcus Mariota. So he loves him a bad quarterback, and especially a bad quarterback that has had some success. Like Arthur Smith is going to eat that up. And the biggest thing is, I've been a Desmond Ridder guy. I've been a fan of him. I've liked his potential. I like him as a prospect, but it was clear after week one, and I thought it was the case last year, but I thought maybe it'd be different. It's just, he doesn't have trust in Ridder. Like that's something anyone can see watching that game. It's just that offense is just like, it's running first, second, third down, third and five. Like, let's try to run again here. Let's see what happens. Like, he likes to win games. He'll run 100 times if he can. But I think if he can get a quarterback that he can have a little more trust in, he would do it. And the only way this happens is if the Titans season starts to fall off the tracks. And unfortunately, Logan, I do think that's possible. But they have a good defense, and they seem to like Tannehill. But even if it doesn't completely fall off the tracks, Tannehill could just struggle. And unlike the Falcons, the Titans have Will Levis. They have Malik Willis. Like, they have two quarterbacks that are waiting and that they spent draft capital on. That if Ryan Tannehill struggles, Arthur Smith will still like him, but the Titans might not.
Yeah, I do just want to – or go ahead, Jesse, sorry.
Oh, how quickly things can change, because you guys know last week around this same time, I was putting a bet on the Titans over for the win based on our podcast. Oh, yep, got a bet on there, over for the wins on the season. Hey, we're banking on it, baby. Let's go, Titans.
What is it? What's the lines, or what's the total on that?
I think the line was 8.5.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. Don't listen to Nick, though. I do want to clarify to anyone that listens to this. Nick says the Titans are going to have a bad season every year. So I can hold him accountable on that one. He's been saying it every year.
And
Nick's a hater. We all know it.
To clear some things up here, the Titans could trade Ryan Tannehill and still finish over 8.5 wins. Like, because in my opinion, they have a tough start to the season, to where I could see them starting off 0-3 and really rebounding after that. But it could be after they trade Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill was not good week one. Like, I know a lot of the elite quarterbacks were bad, but it's just Tannehill was like, it was at the point where, like, is this guy, like, is his arm okay? Like, what's going on? He was not good. But Arthur Smith doesn't care.
Yeah, it gave major washed concerns. Major washed concerns. So then, oh, sorry. So I think I'm next on the list here. So my take was actually something that got disrupted live here on the podcast. You guys heard it earlier in the pod when Logan told me Kenneth Gainwell is out this Thursday. Because my take was Kenneth Gainwell is going to be the main Eagles running back for the entire season.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, with him being out this Thursday, boys, there's a chance. And I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. I think DeAndre Swift might have a chance now. So yeah, I mean, we can go through real quick if you guys want. You guys can go ahead and say what you think about it, but we can also move on quickly here.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, maybe this is one of those stocks you'd kind of just push to the back, but I don't know. I still have faith in him. I don't know. Maybe Sirianni is one of those guys that just trusts someone that's been on their team for a while. I'm actually going to hold on to that one because I have DeAndre Swift in too many leagues. So I at least need to have some positive, you know, if he does bad. So I'm going to hold on to this take. So
I like it. Work in your personal portfolio. I like it.
Not pitching penny stocks like Nick did on that last take, you know. High risk, high reward for looking like a genius.
That was so good.
Hey, let's settle down here, guys. Just kidding.
How do you feel about Kenneth Gainwell, Nick? What do you think of him?
I'm holding. I don't have a strong take on this. It seems like they like Gainwell. Like, he got a lot of touches. But they also seem to still like Boston Scott. And they want to give touches to DeAndre Swift. And based on everything I've seen, Rashad Penny is going to be active this week. Like, I think the Eagles' backfield is still yet to be shaken out. And I hate to go full finance guy here as a finance major. Like, if Kenneth Gainwell is the full-time starter, like, I'll buy that stock at the end and it'll still not be that high. I don't see the potential there with him. And I hope there's somebody else there. But in the meantime, I'm holding. I don't think Kenneth Gainwell is great. I think he's a fine back, but yeah, I'll hold.
No, I mean, I definitely, I understand both the takes. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. All right, Logan, on to you.
Yeah, so for my last take for the stock market, I'm pitching the idea that Allen Robinson's due for a veteran breakout season. I think after watching what happened in that last game, I mean, I should define veteran breakout season. I think that's kind of an interesting to play on words. It doesn't really make sense, but he's been kind of quiet for the last 2 years, and I think he's going to return back to be, oh, I hate to put a number on it because it's just one game. Deontay Johnson just got ruled out for a few weeks, I think. But I think Allen Robinson could, we'll say 850 yards on the season. Is that high enough for a veteran breakout, or do I need to go for 1,000? What do you guys think?
I was thinking 800.
All right. Yeah, I'll keep the total at 850. And I think that, you know, from what I saw week one, that Allen Robinson still kind of has, like, some really shifty feet. He's got the high football IQ, and I think it was shown in the second half of the Steelers game, even though they were getting blown out, that he has a knack for sitting in zone defenses right in the opening. So if Kenny Pickett keeps his eyes on him, he'll get some volume for sure. So I'm buying in on that idea. What do you guys think?
Allen Robinson's one of the weirdest players I've ever seen, like, career. Like, cause there's been times where it just seems like he doesn't want to play football. Dude, I've bought and lost so many times on Allen Robinson. What's one more? Let's go. Let's buy it up, baby. Fourth time's the charm. All right. That's pretty much what I got to say about it. I mean, that's I've always believed in it, man. I don't know. He was so good when he came into the league, and it's just like it's so hard to believe that now he's just ass. So, yeah, no. I mean, I'm buying it. I'm with you. Let's make some money together.
Yeah, I think something that's interesting is Allen Robinson hasn't had a good last 2 years, but he's still on an NFL team. For some reason, teams want him, so he's got something to prove this year.
Not only that, he played a lot this week. Like, he started in the slot, and they had him moving all over the field. Like, that's one thing, because we haven't talked about this a lot on the pod. I'll kind of throw him under the bus here, but Logan's a big Kenny Pickett guy, and like, he told me to watch some of him, so I watched it earlier. And because of that, I'm buying. Like, Allen Robinson, they had him in motion a lot, and they had him in good positions to succeed. And, like, I was one in the training camp storyline. I was out on the Steelers offense. After watching that, you know what? Like, 49ers have a good defense. I might be kind of buying low on the Steelers offense. I think this is a decent time to do that. And with Deontay Johnson out, and I still don't love George Pickens' ability to get open. Like, Allen Robinson's a guy that sounds like they're going to keep him in the slot. Like, Calvin Austin, when Deontay Johnson was out, like, he moved into the Deontay Johnson role, to where it's just, if they have Allen Robinson still working in the slot, and he was open a lot early on, Kenny Pickett wasn't throwing it to him, but later on he was. And if he can get open, if he can make plays for that offense, like, yeah, I could see an 800-yard season. And that's a lot for someone who was kind of left out to dry after the last season. But I'll buy in. He's a good talent. And it's possible he just didn't like his last two scenarios. I mean, we've seen the Bears. Like, I don't like watching it either. And he's on the field.
That's such a good one. Well, you know, that is something that I did think about too with Justin Fields on the not to go back too far, but with Justin Fields, man, it is wild how the Bears have like never really had a successful quarterback. And it was like, hey, man, maybe this is the guy. And now if you're starting to doubt it, it's like, maybe it's something about the field, man. Like, I don't know. Why do they always suck at the Bears? That's crazy. I know they call it the Windy City, but my goodness. It's like tradition.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you got Jim Harbaugh as your third time or your number three on your all-time passing list, I think there might be a problem. Who knows?
With the way Matt Eberflus is doing so far, like, bring in Jim Harbaugh. After he wins the championship this year, like, I'll allow him to slide over. Go Bears.
What if the Bears get Caleb Williams?
Bear down.
Tear it down. Oh, you said bear down. Bear down. Okay. I think you said tear it down. I thought you were saying just tear down the whole team. I was like, geez.
Hey, Caleb Williams, Drake May. I'll support it. But in the meantime, I want Justin Fields to be good, guys. I want him to be good. All right, I think, is it time for me to go on another one here? All right, I'll do my last one here. Kind of teased this earlier, but the Eagles should have hired Shane Steichen as their head coach and let Nick Sirianni walk. All right, Jesse, I'll toss it over to you. Just go ahead and start us off.
Well, I mean, I do understand your point, especially after, like, watching everything this last week. You know, it did seem like the Colts offense had a lot worse players but was able to almost run more not effective. I mean, yeah, I mean, they were just – you could tell. You could tell there was the difference there. But at the same time, I do want you to imagine that, like, you're coaching a team and then the very next year, you're their week one game. Do you think that maybe you'll have a little bit of insight that – some other coaches might not on the, like, how things are going to be schemed, how, I don't know. I mean, I could really see the Colts just having, like, kind of course the Eagles didn't play any preseason games too. I mean, I'm definitely not buying. I'm definitely selling this. What am I talking about? The Eagles are going to, they're going to become more efficient again. They just have too many weapons, man. And it's just, yeah, I mean, Nick Sirianni is a good coach. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to talk on it too much, but because Shane Steichen is great, but I don't know. This one's tough. I like them both. I don't know. I'm selling because Nick Sirianni's our boy. That's who it is. That shit ain't changing. That's for sure. That isn't one that's going to get reversed or anything. We aren't going to get to see it the other way around. So stick with how it is. Let's go Nick Sirianni, baby. Hope this tanks and you lose all your money.
I haven't made an opinion yet, but I'll toss it to Logan. I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Oh, my bad.
I was going to say, after Nick said he didn't have an opinion, I still feel like I don't really have an opinion on this because it might be too early to tell. I do feel like Nick Sirianni's done some bonehead things in his like tenure at Philly, but I feel like, I don't know. We always talk about DeAndre Swift, but who the heck says we want to get DeAndre Swift more than two touches after the game happened? Like, it's like, if you're thinking that now, why were you not thinking that during the game? I don't know. I'm going to hold on this one. I definitely feel like losing Steichen was it's a pretty bad loss, and he's already kind of showing he's going to be a good coach, I think, because he's, you know, made Anthony Richardson look pretty serviceable week one. So I'm going to stick with holding on this one.
Okay, but to be fair, with DeAndre Swift, if you're winning the game, and you know DeAndre Swift, like, I mean, he hasn't been insanely fragile, but he also hasn't been the most healthy player in the world. And you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. I mean, you're not that concerned about beating the Colts week one. Like, if you have the win in the pocket, why send the guy out there? I don't know. That's just – I don't know. I mean, I'm obviously defending the guy. But yeah, Steichen, yeah, it was a huge L. But you got to. Like, if you have an offensive coordinator that's one of the best in the league, they're going to go become a head coach. It's how it works. But, well, unless you're Eric – I mean, anyway. okay, go ahead.
All right, and you go ahead.
I just want to put this out there too, because I need to rewatch some of the Philly game. But was Philadelphia winning the game, or were they trying to lose? Is what I keep going back and forth with, because it was a weird second half, a really weird second half.
Yeah, Jesse, I'm sorry. I'll take this one here. That's what I'll say. It's just like with the Swift thing. It's just like, Jesse, the Patriots had a shot to win that game on the last drive. Like the Philly offense was not very good in that game. But I'll start in. I said earlier I didn't have an opinion, but I do have an opinion, a strong one on this, and I just didn't share it yet. That was my thought. And I do think that I think the Eagles made a mistake. Like, in my opinion, like I've talked about this here over the last week, because it's something I formulated in the past, but this week was even more like made it more obvious to me. Like, you can't let Shane Steichen walk out of the building. Like, Nick Sirianni is an offensive coach. He was with the Colts before under Frank Reich, but he didn't call plays there. And he called plays when he first became the Eagles coach, and it did not go well. Like, he was having Jalen Hurts drop back and throw the ball 35, 40 times a game, and they were losing. And then he finally was like, you know what? I'll let my offensive coordinator take over here. And Shane Steichen took over. Their offense transformed over the course of that season. And the next season, they made the Super Bowl. And, like, Jalen Hurts is one who – he was a second-round pick. Like, he was a good college player, but he was never great. But when he got Shane Steichen as his offensive coordinator, like, he transformed into one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Jesse, I bet you love hearing me say that.
But Nick just still can't believe that Jalen Hurts is just a good quarterback. He just can't believe it. He refuses. Okay, continue.
Okay, so yeah, Jalen Hurts became good. But you know what? I think because we got a guy who talks to the press well and is a good cheerleader, we'll go ahead and toss the guy who made Jalen Hurts really good, or at least got his strengths to really perform well. Like, let's just get him out of the building. And their defense last year was dominant. You know what? He's gone too. But guess what? We still got our guy who's a great cheerleader and is great with the press. He motivates the team. But it's just, can he call an offense? Well, no, he can't do that. Well, can he call a defense? Well, not exactly, but he'll give a good speech. Like, the Eagles offense, like, everyone was bypassing it this offseason that it's just the Eagles were going to be the same. Like, the offense was going to be business as usual. The defense, they're going to sack the quarterback 50,000 times again. Business as usual. Guess what? The defense wasn't as good. The offense wasn't as good. And they don't have the guys behind it anymore. Like, we have Brian Johnson there. And I think Brian Johnson could be good. But week one, like, he wasn't ready. Like, he wasn't ready to call a great offense. Like, by the end of the season, I think the Eagles could be good. But it's possible the Eagles also just don't figure it out. And that's because they lost the guys that helped organize such a good team. And with the Colts, it's just Shane Steichen called a pretty good game with not a lot of great weapons there. Like, I think Anthony Richardson has a lot of potential. But, like, he made Anthony Richardson look pretty decent as a passer. And he was in college for 3 years, and he never looked decent as a passer. I watched a lot of his games. He never looked decent. Shane Steichen made him look decent. And the Eagles just gave up on that because he was the offensive coordinator. Like, my thought is, I'm buying this. I think you just let, like, a very important piece go. Like, that guy is a good play caller. And that's a lot of probably overreacting off week one, but I think the Eagles made a mistake.
So, yeah, that was my first point I was going to make, is like, wow, this is quite a lot that you figured out from week one. So, I mean, incredible. But I do got to apologize. I was mixing the games of the Colts and the Jaguars with the Eagles and the Patriots. Okay, so let's go ahead and run that back real quick. So, okay, who was Nick Sirianni coaching against this weekend where his offense wasn't, like, quite as smooth and efficient as it was last year? Was it the greatest defensive head coach that has ever walked the earth? Is it him? Is it Bill Belichick? One of the best ever?
It was.
The GOAT? Oh. Okay. Just wanted to clear that up. And then, I mean, yeah, dude. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to rip on Shines. I'm not going to rip on Steichen. Like, I mean, he's great. I mean, but he was an offense coordinator. He had to choose. And, yeah, I mean, I'm all right with our cheerleader. I think that this all literally stems back to Nick just not being able to say, you know what? I was wrong about Jalen Hurts. That's just what it all looks like to me, man. That's he can't say, you know what? I was wrong about Trey Lance. I was wrong about Jalen Hurts. He can't do it. And that's okay, Nick. I get it. Of course, I did admit right away week one that Calvin Ridley, you know, I mean, I admitted my fault. But hey, it's all good. You don't got to. No, but no, I mean, it is what it is. I'm selling it. You're buying it. We'll see how the season goes. We'll see how the season goes. I think Nick Sirianni will be just fine. Our little cheerleader. Love him.
And what I'll say is, like, Jesse, by me saying this, this is me saying that Jalen Hurts is pretty good. And, like, you had a good thing going. It's just like now it's gone. And that's the unfortunate part of the NFL. I get it. And like maybe their offense is going to be good enough. They were good last year. And it's just like usually you'd like to think that the staff would be able to at least kind of retain a lot of like their schemes and whatnot. But I just think Shane Steichen's a good play caller. That's my thought. And I think he calls a good offense. And I think it's a tough loss. And that kind of goes into my greater point that I think not having an offensive coach just kind of hurts your team in the NFL. Like, I think an offensive coach, one that you should be, like, treasuring and keeping on your team, because that's very important. And, well, sorry for going too much in on the Eagles there, Jesse, but I'm a bit nervous, but it's just week one. There's a lot of football left to be played. I wish the Eagles best of luck, but it was definitely a fun episode. And until next time, Dino Talk.